CBS News.
And the temperature reading right now in the Twin Cities area, 26 degrees, and we still have some drizzle around the Twin Cities metropolitan area this morning. Bruce Hoggovic here in the WCCO Radio Newsroom, and they tell me that it's also still pretty slippery in some areas. So if you're going out driving this morning, keep that in mind. As you've been hearing all this morning here on WCCO Radio, Saddam Hussein has been captured, and we'll have more coverage from CBS News coming up in just a moment. Taking a quick look at our forecast, calling for a little bit of drizzle yet this morning, and then mostly cloudy by this afternoon. This drizzle should be ending if it's still falling in your area. High this afternoon should be about 30, and then tonight mostly cloudy with the overnight low between 20 and 25. Tomorrow, Monday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of light freezing rain or light rain in the afternoon, and high temperature reading about 35 degrees on Monday. Now, Monday night, it changes a bit. 70% chance of snow, and that snow may be mixed with light freezing rain or sleet in the evening, with a possible accumulation of 4 inches of snow overnight on Monday night in the Twin Cities area and across much of southern Minnesota. Also, along with that snow, we expect some wind. They're calling it blustery in weather terms, with the overnight low Monday night between 20 and 25. And then on Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of snow in the morning and then partly sunny by Tuesday afternoon, and but continued windy with a high temperature of 25 to 30 on Tuesday. Right now we've got 26 degrees in the Twin Cities area. A couple of quick news and sports notes here. The University of Minnesota women's volleyball team, a long shot in the NCAA Long Beach Women's Volleyball Regional Tournament, survived a slugfest last night, defeating Washington by a score of 3-2 to advance to next week's national semifinals in Dallas. Gophers will be appearing in the Final Four for the very first time. So the University of Minnesota Gopher volleyball team, women's volleyball team, advancing to the Final Four for the very first time in school history. And in the Heisman Trophy Award last night in New York, the trophy goes to Oklahoma quarterback Jason White, who has the Heisman after being named AP College Football Player of the Year. And Pittsburgh sophomore wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald Jr. of the Twin Cities came in second in the Heisman Trophy voting, which was announced last night. A Vikings win today and a Packers loss would mean an NFC North title for the Minnesota Vikings, but nothing, of course, is a given for the Vikings. The Packers play at San Diego, the Vikings at the Bears. The Vikings game at noon today in Chicago. National Guard troops plan to continue their search for Drew Shadeen today in Minnesota. Yesterday, a North Dakota National Guard search for the missing University of North Dakota student ended with no trace of the woman, but the Minnesota National Guard will be continuing their search probably until about noon today. We'll keep you informed here on WCCO Radio. By the way, no big winner in the Powerball drawing last night. That means the jackpot goes to an estimated $100 million for the midweek drawing on Wednesday. Numbers last night were 17, 19, 25, 26, and 44, and the Powerball was number 19. This program reminder that our regularly scheduled Sunday morning programs here on WCCO Radio have been assigned for today only to KCCO at 9:50 on the AM dial. So if you're tuning in to hear Fairview Healthwise, currently that is on KCCO Radio at 9:50 on the AM dial. Your Money coming up at 8:30 here. Bruce Helmer also is being transported over to KCCO Radio, 9:50 on the AM dial. And the Sports Huddle with Sid and Dave at 9:30 also will be at on KCCO Radio, our sister station, at 9:50 on the AM dial. This will allow us to continue to bring you live, continuous coverage of the capture of Saddam Hussein here on WCCO Radio. Again, a little bit of drizzle around the Twin Cities area. It might be slippery, 26 degrees at the present time. And it is 8:08 as we rejoin CBS Radio News.
Audio messages to the people of Iraq, taunting American forces, taunting President Bush. There were fears that Saddam might come back.
In fact, I looked at a couple of the audio tapes from July and November, Mark, and these audio tapes were body blows to the coalition military effort, which had portrayed the resistance as scattered, uncoordinated, and ineffective. And now I think Saddam's capture is a body blow, not only to him, but also to the resistance.
And that's the way in which Mr. Bush will certainly portray this. He will address not just the American people, but the world and the Iraqi people as well, giving them the assurance that they've been looking for, that Saddam is now in U.S. custody, and there is no chance that he will come back into power.
But in no way does President Bush want to be embarrassed. He wouldn't want to make it sound like the violence will now end. And then there is violence, and then, well, among others, the Democratic candidates will be all over him, Mark.
Dan, the White House knows that just the capture of Saddam will not end all the violence. There are insurgents, there are foreign terrorists that are being blamed, not just for the attacks on Americans, but for the attacks on Iraqis who are seen to be supporting Americans, attacks on the United Nations, attacks on the International Red Cross. So the White House knows that the attacks won't end just because Saddam is in custody, but it might be a factor that leads to a reduction in those attacks.
Just a few seconds, Raymond Tanter, not wanting to raise expectations too high?
Right, you don't want to raise expectations too high as May 1st landing on the Lincoln. You want to have the president not exercising this kind of a triumphalist image.
Well, yeah, referring to that day when President Bush said major combat had ended, and behind him was a big banner that said mission accomplished. It led to political controversy. Thanks to Raymond Tanter, CBS News consultant, and to our White House correspondent, Mark Noller. And here's the very latest at 9:10 Eastern.
CBS News Update. I'm Cammy McCormick. Celebrations in Baghdad this morning after the U.S. captures its most wanted.
Saddam Hussein was captured Saturday, December 13th at about 8:30 p.m. local in a cellar in the town of Adwar, which is about 15 kilometers south of Tikrit.
U.S. Ambassador Paul Bremer, Saddam was captured without a single shot fired. U.S. General Rick Sanchez says the former Iraqi leader was tired, resigned to his fate, and cooperative. In Baghdad, reporter Phil Smucker says Iraqis have greeted the news with glee.
They're loving it in a very short phrase there. I mean, they're out on the streets. Everybody's talking. This is a culture where you don't see people imbibing a lot of alcohol, but they've grabbed their guns. They're out on the street. They're shooting.
A senior White House official calls this a great day for Iraq, and British Prime Minister Tony Blair just a short while ago.
Let his capture bring about unity, reconciliation, and peace between all the people in Iraq.
Americans are waking up to the news this morning, and many, like this woman in Detroit, welcomed it.
I'm happy for the Iraqi people. I'm happy for them. Hopefully peace will come for those people.
CBS News Update, I'm Cammy McCormick.
I'm Dan Ravee with our continuing coverage from CBS News on the capture of Saddam Hussein, captured alive by U.S. forces. It's the 4th Infantry Division of the U.S. Army that's getting the credit. About 600 soldiers of the 4th ID headed toward this farm area south of Tikrit yesterday afternoon, and just after nightfall, a little after 6 p.m. local time in Iraq, they went in and raided two farms. At first didn't find anything, but after 9 p.m. in searching and searching very thoroughly, they did find, in a town of Adwar, about 10 miles south of Tikrit, they did find a hole in the floor of a mud hut. Turned out to be a hole 7 feet deep with a man at the bottom. It was Saddam Hussein with a big bushy beard. That's right, the U.S. has now played some of the videotape of Saddam Hussein actually in custody, being examined by an American military doctor. Before we play the tape, for those of you just waking up who didn't hear that major announcement in Baghdad, we turn to CBS News military consultant, retired Colonel Jeff McCausland. Just imagine you were in the 4th Infantry Division and got that news, whether you're in Iraq, whether you're in that group of 600 or not, or back at home base. By the way, Jeff, would you know, where's the 4th Infantry Division based in the U.S.?
4th Infantry Division comes out of Fort Hood, Texas, Dan, and this would be an enormous morale booster for not only the soldiers who participated in the operation, but obviously all the soldiers in Iraq and those who have rotated home. This is a culmination of a major portion of this operation.
Yeah, even their families. It works that way, wouldn't you agree? Around Fort Hood, Texas, just everybody would feel great knowing their buddies accomplished something, getting Saddam without firing a shot.
Absolutely correct, and it'll be a real boost, particularly at this time of year where people are somewhat down because of holidays coming on and families being separated.
Ah, it's an interesting take on it. You're right. They're down and wondering when some of the troops are going to be coming home, and sometimes those dates aren't firm, and that's a problem. Do you think there's a chance that some Army families, and they might be wrong about this, would think, Saddam Hussein's been captured. Hey, maybe my loved ones are going to come home from Iraq even earlier.
Well, that's a good point, Dan. We need to paint this picture realistically here very soon. That though this is a major milestone, there's a long road to go in Iraq, and I would doubt very seriously this would have an immediate effect upon the movement of forces back to the United States. But it certainly is heartening not only for soldiers but for their families waiting for them here in the United States.
Stay with us in our coverage. That's retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland here at CBS News. I know a lot of you are just waking up and wanting to hear details. How did it happen? We've got the details. They came out in a briefing in Baghdad, and it was the U.S. diplomat who's been serving as civil administrator who made the announcement 2 hours ago. It was dramatic. Reporters and some Iraqis, reporters, some with the interim governing council, they were excited just to hear this and then to see the video of Saddam Hussein. So let's listen to that U.S. diplomat, Ambassador Paul Bremer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Start with just those three words, and anybody who speaks English got the message there. Quite a reaction from Americans and Iraqis in the room listening to this. With a smile on his face, U.S. Civilian Administrator Paul Bremer. This is 2 hours ago in Baghdad.
Saddam Hussein was captured Saturday, December 13th at about 8:30 p.m. local in a cellar in the town of Adwar, which is about 15 kilometers south of Tikrit. This is a great day in Iraq's history. For decades, hundreds of thousands of you suffered at the hands of this cruel man. For decades, Saddam Hussein divided you citizens against each other. For decades, he threatened and attacked your neighbors. Those days are over forever. Now it is time to look to the future, to your future of hope, to a future of reconciliation. Iraq's future, your future, has never been more full of hope. The tyrant is a prisoner. The economy is moving forward. You have before you the prospect of a sovereign government in a few months. With the arrest of Saddam Hussein, there is a new opportunity for the members of the former regime, whether military or civilian, to end their bitter opposition. Let them now come forward in a spirit of reconciliation and hope, lay down their arms, and join you, their fellow citizens, in the task of building the new Iraq. Now is the time for all Iraqis, Arabs and Kurds, Sunnis, Shia, Christian, and Turkmen, to build a prosperous, democratic Iraq at peace with itself and with its neighbors.
Ambassador Paul Bremer, the U.S. civilian administrator in Baghdad, addressing the Iraqi people. What does it mean that U.S. forces captured Saddam Hussein last night? And we found out then that Saddam is being questioned and that he's being cooperative. And a videotape was played. As I said, there was reaction from Iraqis in the room. You'll hear some of that. And this, the opening statement from 2 hours ago in Baghdad by the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq, Lieutenant General Rick Sanchez.
This is Saddam as he was being given his medical examination today.
What you saw there was a grizzled and messed up kind of Saddam Hussein.
Saddam's
long dark hair.
Medical examination proved that he had no injuries and he is in good health. What we will see next is a picture of Saddam Hussein at the time he was captured. On your left and on the right is Saddam Hussein after he was shaved. The capture of Saddam Hussein is a defining moment in the new Iraq. I expect that the detention of Saddam Hussein will be regarded as the beginning of reconciliation for the people of Iraq and as a sign of Iraq's rebirth. Just as importantly, this success brings closure to the Iraqi people. We now have final resolution. Saddam Hussein will never return to a position of power from which he can punish, terrorize, intimidate, and exploit the Iraqi people as he did for more than 35 years.
General Rick Sanchez, the commander of U.S. forces in Iraq. He was speaking 2 hours ago. Let's see if we have a reporter, Philip Smucker, in Baghdad on the line. Phil, if you hear me, did most Iraqi people get to hear that? Would there be live broadcasts, radio or TV?
There was indeed. And so that's the time it took to arrange that press conference to get all the lines up and get this out, the story out as soon as possible into the streets of Baghdad. The celebrations had even started before because, if you recall, it was the Iranian news agency that first reported the capture. The streets, we had sporadic gunfire, and people were now, they're waving shirts out the window as they drive by. There are people that said they're going to stay up all night to celebrate. The lights are coming on. There's a mood in the town that we haven't seen in months.
And do you think any Iraqis knew it on a rumor basis this morning, or only this afternoon, Baghdad time, it became official? That's when they found out.
Well, actually, I was in a police station interviewing a commander about the spate of assassinations in Baghdad. I mean, this has been a very violent city. The country has been quite violent because there hasn't been a police force.
Phil, I'm going to ask you to hold that story. Phil, yeah. I love that anecdote. We're going to break for one of our CBS News updates. We'll come back to you in a moment. It's 9:20 Eastern.
CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti.
Today is a great day for the Iraqi people and for the coalition.
U.S.-Iraq Commander Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, one of the Americans making a major announcement about Saddam Hussein.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Chief U.S. Civilian Administrator Paul Bremer, celebrations breaking out with that announcement in the briefing room and in the streets of Baghdad. So how sure is the U.S. it has Saddam Hussein? CBS News National Security Correspondent David Martin.
Identification is based on physical evidence, the scars on his body, the positive IDs made by other members of his former regime. And I think it's more indicative of the fact that he is resigned to his capture. He's not resisting in any way, and he's not trying to say they got the wrong man. He knows that the game is over.
U.S. reaction now from the White House. CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller.
The president wants this to be seen by the Iraqi people as a political stake in the heart of Saddam Hussein, that there is no chance that he would come back.
And this from Detroit. That's the U.S. home for many former Iraqis.
I just hope that the people appreciate their freedom and that we can get out as soon as possible.
And once again, Saddam Hussein now in U.S. custody. CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti.
I'm Dan Revive with continuing coverage. We've just learned that President Bush will speak at the White House at 12 noon Eastern Time. At 12 o'clock Eastern Time, President Bush will address the nation. Still not totally clear whether that's going to be a formal kind of speech or whether he might talk with reporters and take questions. A lot of us are thinking it's likely to be a formal speech. That's what Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair did. And the president will be doing that at noon Eastern Time. Right now it's 9:22 in the morning Eastern Time. So plan your morning accordingly, but stay with us because there is so much more to tell, so many more details unfolding from the capture of Saddam Hussein. We're on the line with reporter Philip Smucker in Baghdad. And I wondered, Phil, how Iraqis may have gotten the news and whether it started as a rumor. What did you experience this morning?
There was a lieutenant of the police commander that we were interviewing who came in and they said, "Have you heard, sir?" Then we asked about it because we knew that we would probably want to break off the interview. Then another lieutenant came in and asked, "Sir, what are the orders? Because the streets are going to be rather wild this evening. Should we be out on a special patrol? What should we? Is there a plan for this?" And at that point, it became relatively clear that the news was firmer than there have been four or five times before where people have talked about him having been captured. And so people were a bit hesitant. And then it came across, of course, through London, Tony Blair. And at that point, the crescendo and gunfire on the streets picked up a bit.
And that's that gunfire celebration by firing bullets up into the air. You know, we've just learned from one of the U.S. officials in Baghdad that at least one person who positively identified this grizzled, dusty man who, when found, was bearded as Saddam Hussein, was the former Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Minister Tariq Aziz. He's been in U.S. custody for 7 months. He speaks great English. We're familiar with Tariq Aziz. Not the first time, Phil, that we've heard Tariq Aziz is cooperating and identifying other Iraqi regime officials.
Well, that's a fascinating point, and it seems that the U.S. commander wanted to be there on the ground as well. And so this, when this went down, they had a lot of ducks in a row, and they had it well-timed. Well, you know, probably the most wanted man in the world is Osama bin Laden, and he escaped when we tried to use the Afghans at Tora Bora. Now, this time, we relied on our soldiers, but others' intelligence. So it worked, and then, of course, they didn't even have to put up a fight. So they took him in down in his little rat hole, so to speak.
And not a shot fired, as you say. We'll join you again later. Reporter Philip Smucker, live in Baghdad. Hey, military consultant Colonel Jeff McCausland, take up that point. I thought it was an interesting one that Phil made from Baghdad, that in Afghanistan, when U.S. forces depended on some of the warlords and friendly Afghan troops, we didn't get Osama bin Laden. So maybe this model in Iraq, you know, tactically, is better.
Might well be, Dan, and of course this is the key question, is the capture of Saddam going to encourage more and more Iraqis to be forthcoming, support this coalition of regional authority and the Iraqi Governing Council? And we can probably see that now in a change in terms of increased intelligence gathering, them being willing to provide information on others, such as Mohammed al-Duri, who's still at large, or increased recruitment in the Iraqi security forces that we're attempting to rebuild.
And what would you do now? Seriously, if you're a military planner for the U.S. armed forces in Iraq, first the short term. Saddam Hussein's been captured, and it turns out he was near his hometown, Tikrit. Do you now raid all those houses in Tikrit that where families might have helped him, or you just drop the whole thing because, hey, you got the big fish?
Well, I think you do two things. One is we've done a number of operations in and around Tikrit. Certainly you want to exploit everything that you gather in the place he was captured. There may be intelligence that immediately tells you things and places you should go very quickly and exploit that. Second, you may well want to do another operation into Crete to see if there are others in and around the area that were moving in that area but coordinating overall insurgent activities. And third, you want to tell all the forces throughout Iraq that in the short term, they need to redouble their efforts and be watchful and enhance force protection. Because I would imagine the resistance will attempt to come back very quickly to demonstrate that despite the loss of their leader, they're still vigorous in their efforts to overcome the coalition provisional authority.
That's a telling point and maybe a troubling point. If you were a military planner, you would not expect several days of quiet now.
No, on the contrary. I mean, we saw a bombing in Karbala just in the last few hours in which I believe 10 Iraqis were killed.
That was in Ramadi, yeah. Somewhere between 10 and 20 killed, probably a suicide bomber again. And so you're saying there's nothing in the capture of Saddam that prevents that.
Absolutely correct. And we've seen the suicide bombings increasing in the last few weeks. And I would expect that we might see a few more in the coming days and weeks as that resistance tries to show that they're still out there. Then over time, I'd be very hopeful that this may start to calm down somewhat.
Have you given some thought to who these suicide bombers are? Do you think they're former officers in Saddam's army or some sort of freelancers who've come in from other countries, or they're not related to the old Saddam regime at all?
Could be a combination of all those things. They could be part of the Fedayeen Saddam, which were this elite group that were extremely loyal to Saddam. It could be elements that are coming in from outside of Iraq. We did have reports that Osama bin Laden had directed al-Qaeda to redirect a large portion of its effort towards Iraq as opposed to Afghanistan, or it could be just disenchanted local people who are in fact freelancing.
One of our CBS News military consultants, retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland. Thank you, Jeff. So we've learned that President Bush will address the nation at noon Eastern time. Oh, right now it's 9:28. We turn to CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller. So first, is it going to be a formal address or something with reporters and Q&A? What do you think?
That hasn't been finalized yet. We were just informed by White House spokesman Scott McClellan that the president would be in the cabinet room around noon to make a statement on the capture of Saddam. It'll be pool coverage. That means the whole press corps won't be in there, just a pool of reporters. Whether it'll be a formal address to the nation, that didn't seem to be what Scott was saying. So, but it will certainly be a statement, and we will hear it live.
Right, and when it says cabinet room, or when they say it'll be in the cabinet room, I realize it could be President Bush seated at his position with Andrew Carter's chief of staff and with Secretary of State Powell and Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, et cetera, et cetera. You know, who knows? Members of the cabinet would be there, Vice President Cheney. Or could they use the cabinet room for just Mr. Bush? Would that be the right place for just Mr. Bush?
They have done that in the past, Dan. They have put a lectern in the cabinet room, removing the chairs and tables that are normally in there, and allow the president to address the nation from a formal standing position. We don't yet know exactly what the logistics will be, other than Mr. Bush will make his first public statement on the capture of Saddam around noon Eastern.
And do you have word on when President Bush was awakened this morning with the confirmed news it's Saddam who was caught?
Indeed, we do. We are told that National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice spoke with the president at 5:14 a.m. Eastern and informed him that the military in Iraq had confirmed that Saddam was now in their custody.
I guess no one on the White House staff had to then say to you, and the president was delighted. I mean, did they even bother to tell you his reaction?
You know, that goes without saying, certainly. A spokesman says President Bush sees the capture as good news for the Iraqi people and believes that the Iraqi people can finally be assured that Saddam will not be coming back.
And tell us something about the process. Since the speech or the statement by President Bush starts in 2.5 hours, what happens between now and then?
Well, certainly the president is conferring with his top aides and his speechwriters, saying exactly what he wants to say to the world, to the American people, to the Iraqi people, and draft of remarks are being worked out, or the president may be writing it himself. We just don't know. It could be either way.
With everyone aware, it's a worldwide audience, and just a few seconds, Mark, but the Iraqi people, definitely part of the audience.
Oh, there's no question about that. The president wants to be sure they understand the import of this development.
CBS News White House correspondent Mark Knoller, part of our live continuing coverage from CBS News. I'm Dan Raviv. It's 9:31
Eastern. CBS News Update. I'm Steve Kathan. He was the needle in the haystack. Now Saddam Hussein's under arrest.
We got him.
Paul Bremer with the official word of the capture of the former Iraqi leader. Uncovered, looking haggard with a thick beard in a hole in the cellar of a farmhouse outside Tikrit after a U.S. raid. CBS News Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
He has been given a medical examination, which we saw some brief video clips of. He is in good health. He is described by General Sanchez, who has personally seen him, as tired, resigned to his fate, talkative, and cooperative.
The White House calls it a great day for Iraq. President Bush will speak in about 2.5 hours. Reaction today in New Orleans.
I'm glad. I'm just waiting now for our troops to come home.
I'm glad they caught him.
I'm surprised they didn't catch him earlier, but I'm glad they caught him now.
CBS News Update. I'm Steve Kathan.
And Bruce Hogovic here in the WCCO Radio Newsroom here at WCCO in St. Paul, Minneapolis. Our temperature reading at 26 degrees right now here in the Twin Cities area. And we are going to continue with live coverage from CBS News on the capture of Saddam Hussein. And this program reminder, beginning shortly after noon today, we'll have a roundtable discussion here on WCCO Radio with reaction to what is happening. Reaction, of course, coming in from around the world. What does this mean politically? What does it mean financially for those of us right here in Minnesota and, of course, throughout the U.S. and throughout the world? And we'll have listener participation, too, so you'll be able to call in and ask questions of our guests. This will be starting at about 12:10 this afternoon here on WCCO Radio. We'll have several guests lined up in a roundtable discussion that'll carry us through the afternoon. In the meantime, we'll continue this morning with our live coverage from CBS News on the capture of Saddam Hussein. And that will include an address by President Bush, which is coming up in about 2.5 hours, as Dan Raviv of CBS News mentioned just a moment ago. Now, looking at our forecast for the Twin Cities area, we are calling for mostly cloudy today. I understand there's still some drizzle, though, around the Twin Cities area, and that could mean slippery conditions. So if you're out driving this morning, be aware of that. High this afternoon will be about 30 degrees, and then tonight mostly cloudy with the overnight low between 20 and 25. Yeah, look for tomorrow on Monday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of light freezing rain in the afternoon and a high temperature reading of 35. And then a weather system moves in for Monday night. A 70% chance of snow Monday night The snow could be mixed with some light freezing rain or sleet in the evening, and it will be blustery, that means windy, and accumulations possibly up to 4 inches of snow on Monday night into early Tuesday morning. The overnight low on Monday night will be between 20 and 25 degrees. And the outlook for Tuesday, mostly cloudy, with a 50-50 chance of snow in the morning, and then mostly sunny to partly sunny in the afternoon, but continued windy with a high temperature of 25 to 30 and a northwest wind about 15 to 25 miles an hour on Tuesday. So we could get some snow come Monday night here in the Twin Cities area. Again, our regularly scheduled programs on Sunday morning here on WCCO Radio have been assigned to KCCO at 9:50 on the AM dial. Right now, Your Money, which normally is on the air at about this time here on WCCO, is being broadcast live on KCCO. That's at 9:50 on the AM dial. And then at 9:30, the Sports Huddle with Sid and Dave also will be transported to a KCCO radio at 9:50 on the AM dial. So if you want to hear our regular Sunday morning programs from WCCO radio, tune in at 9:50 on the AM dial, KCCO Radio. Meanwhile, we'll keep you informed with continuous live coverage here on WCCO Radio on this major international story, the capture of Saddam Hussein. 26 degrees right now. The time is 8:35. We return to CBS News.
Former Major Mike Lyon. So Mike, I mean, you've been with infantry and seen what they do. You'd have to, in some sense, flood the room with light. Is it just those little lights on the men's helmets?
Actually, that is part of it. There's lights on the helmets. There's a certain amount of stuff.